Hello, guys. This is Shaladio coming to you once again on another episode. Today is Saturday, the 8th of March, 2014. I just came around to the town center today because I needed to replace a card that was fraudulently cloned and being used far away in India to try to siphon my money away. So I just came over to the town center to get that sorted. And I'd not been to the town center on a Saturday for well over a year or 2 years, actually. So as soon as I finished, I just decided to have a walk around. And then I strayed into Morrison's to have some breakfast. Now, I'd not had breakfast in Morrison's since I moved to this town 10 years ago. So this is my first time. So I just thought I should quickly do a recording of another episode of Random Gist before we go into the new week. Now, the title of today's Random Gist is Errors of My Past. Errors of My Past. And this is going to be split into three gists. So this is part one of the gist, Errors of My Past. So this is Errors of My Past, part one. Now, in this gist, we'll be talking about something very crucial, something very important for us as Christians, especially if we have been heavily involved in sowing seeds into our flesh or walking in sin or walking in the flesh, and then we're now in the kingdom of God, walking in the Spirit and walking with a new life in the Spirit. So that's what I'll be discussing today. Now, this is very crucial if you are someone who has a great future in God and you're looking to do stuff with God, but yet you've had a colorful past. And I'm just trying to state that there is something significant about your past that can be used in overturning stuff in your present and your future if you do not handle it correctly, spiritually, and you don't handle it with knowledge. So we're going to go straight into the scriptures. I'll read Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15 from four different translations, and then we get on with the business. Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. I'll read the King James first. It says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Then let's look at the J.B. Phillips translation. The J.B. Phillips translation says, "You who were spiritually dead because of your sins and your own circumcision, God has now made to share in the very life of Christ. He has forgiven you all your sins. Not some, but all." Then verse 14. "He has utterly wiped out the written evidence of broken commandments which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it to the cross." Verse 15. "And then, having drawn the sting of all the powers and authorities ranged against us, he exposed them, shattered, emptied, and defeated in his own triumphant victory." Now let's go to the Message translation. It says, "When you were stuck in your old sin, dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive, right along with Christ. Think of it, all sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant cancelled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets." I love that. Then let's go to the Living Bible translation. "You were dead in sins and your sinful desires were not yet cut away. Then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ, for he forgave all your sins and blotted out the charges, the list of his commandments which you had not obeyed. He took this list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin, and God openly displayed to the world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were all taken away. So I've read through four translations of Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. So what essentially do we really want to talk about in Errors of My Past? Now, what we want to talk about is this, that you used to be a sinner. You used to, you know, be a dude who, or a lady who did not accept Jesus Christ. You were out there in sin. Then one day, you decided to declare for Jesus, get born again. Now, not only did you get born again, you began to pursue a life in the Spirit. You began to read your Bible. You began to pray very regularly. You began to go to church. You began to associate with people. And also, you then discover that as you began to do this, after a while, you also began to come across a few struggles about things that you had done in your past, which were then trying to creep into your future. Some of them come in the form of soul ties. Soul ties essentially means that you are rediscovering your affection for things that you used to do in the past. You used to be strongly tied to them. You used to be you had a strong affection and affinity for those things. And now those affinities and those affections are creeping their way back into your life now that you are in Christ and you are in the kingdom of God. So some of them come back in the form of soul ties. And what those soul ties will aim to do is to try to get you back into the behaviors and to the practice of those things in a bid for you to continue to walk in sin. And when you walk in sin, the Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So it means that if you continue to sow sins into your life, you will continue to reap destruction, even as a believer. Just look at it. If you continue to sleep around, one day you are going to catch AIDS, inevitably. So really, you can look at it that even on the earth, you begin to pay some consequences of things that you are doing with your flesh today. So that's what I really want to bring across to us. Now, let's take this further. Let's begin to take this further now. Now, there are some things you did in your past. You did those things in your past. Now, when it comes to God's forgiveness is absolute. God's forgiveness is total. God's forgiveness is complete. So it means that if we say that you have come into Christ and you have received the forgiveness of sins, it means that every single thing you ever did, you have received the forgiveness that God purchased for you. Now, even what you do today, it's not like when you come to God and say that God should forgive you, you're not saying, now it's not like God is now going to quickly go and kill another goat in heaven to effect your forgiveness. No. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross there, he hung for every sin you have ever committed since you were born, and every sin you will still commit before you die. So that sacrifice was only one, not many. One sacrifice, and his name is Jesus Christ. So if you come, and Jesus Christ has already, he's already been hung on the cross, he's died, he's risen from the dead. So there's nothing you want to do today that you now make God go and assemble Jesus Christ again and say, Jesus, he has done it again. Go to the cross and go and hang there for this boy. No. He has only hung there once, and that's all that is required for your sins. Isn't that good news? To think that God forgiving me is not something that he's going to think about now. It's something that he has already accomplished through the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And trust me, that is the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The good news that Jesus Christ has already paid the price once and for all for my sins. He's not going to pay it again. He's already paid it once and for all. Now, the issue is this. Now, after discussing, after saying all this to you, there's still a problem. And I want to state what that problem is. And I'm going to state it by giving some examples, real life examples of certain things that happened. Now, the first example was this. There was a girl in University of Lagos when I was still on campus who used to steal clothes from the line. You know, in uni like then, when you wash your clothes, you go and stick them out on the line in the sun so that the sun can, you know, dry them up for you. So what this girl will do is that she will go out there, sneak there when people are not watching, and steal other people's clothes. So people will come out and will not be able to find their clothes. And, you know, people will be so upset, they'll be angry and all the rest. So what then happened was that this girl, she attended a fellowship one day and she decided to commit her life to Jesus Christ. She decided to get born again. Now, remember the scriptures I read to you. Remember I told you that God's forgiveness is absolute, completely absolute for everything you have done and ever done. So, if I ask you, has this girl been forgiven by God for the clothes that she took off the line? I'm sure we were all going to answer with an unqualified yes. Yes, she has been forgiven. Okay. So, the next thing is this. She had been forgiven. She had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. She began to pray and read her Bible. And she also began to attend fellowship. So she began to practice Christianity. So the next thing she did was that she then realized that, look, I have hurt people. I have offended people by stealing their clothes. And now I am a brand new person in Christ Jesus. She's no longer a sinner. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away and all things are become new. She's a new creation man in Christ Jesus. So, you know what she did? She fished out these clothes from her suitcase and then went back in the open to the line where she took those clothes from and tried to put those clothes back on the line. The people who owned those clothes, maybe one or two of them, were passing by and they saw her. And they then realized that, those are the clothes we've been looking for all these days. They just pounced on her. And you know, in Nigeria, when they catch a thief, they don't just take the thief to the police station. They will beat you senseless and then decide whether they should hand over your wrecked body to the police or just kill you off. So they beat this girl senseless. But the Christians who knew her were able to intervene and rescue her from being killed. So effectively, what has happened here is that even though God had forgiven her, she was still going to pay the price for what she did by getting killed for what she stole. Do you understand? So God has forgiven, but the penalty of what she did was going to be reflected in her life. Did you understand that? So it means that she had done something, but the consequences of what she had done were about to play out in her life, if not for the of people who were walking past. Then the debate started in school. Look, the debate started. And what was the debate? The debate was this. She is now reformed. She is now born again. She is now transformed. She shouldn't be held for this. And people were saying, no, we don't know about this Jesus we are talking about. She stole our clothes. She must pay full price, consequence for what she has done. Do you understand? So that is number one scenario. One day I presented this on Twitter and one lady replied me and said, they were just stupid. They should just have forgiven her. But they didn't. They would have killed her for fun. And it would be presumptuous and naive for us to just assume that because God has forgiven her, she can just walk all over the streets like that and people will not attack her and try to kill her for what she has done. It is stupid and it is naive, and people will pay for it if we don't know how to solve this problem. But obviously, the fact that she had been forgiven by God did not fully solve her problem. It didn't solve her problem before the eyes of men. They would have killed her for fun. So let's look at the other example. Now, the next example was this. A lady was married to a man, and she started having, she was not born again. Her husband is not born again. Then she started having a fling with her boss at work. And this is true life story in Lagos, Nigeria. She started having a fling with her boss at work. And guess what? During this fling, she got pregnant. And then she quickly ran to her husband, slept with him. And then the pregnancy started growing. And then the husband, you know, would have thought that that was his child. And then they had this child. And I think maybe that was their third or, okay, let's just assume fourth child, right? She already had some kids before then. Now, so the boy is now 10 years old. And guess what? The woman now gets born again. She starts going to church. She starts worshiping God. She's now a reformed person. She's now filled with the Holy Ghost. She's now tongue-talking. She has her gate. She has her ticket stamped for heaven. She has her pass punched for heaven. She began to worship God. She began to pray, you know, and began to go to church. And her whole life had changed. And then one day, she decided to go tell her husband after she had received forgiveness from God for what she had done. And told her husband that, you see, that our fourth child that you always believed was our fourth child, the real father of that child is actually my ex-boss that I was dating 10 years ago. The man just started fireworks and they ended up in court. Said, this woman must go. It is adultery. You must go. Divorce straight away. Now they begged this man. The man's family begged. The woman's family begged. The judge begged. In fact, the judge even said, I will not approve the divorce. I will allow another extra month or two for reconciliation. The man told the judge to her face, God forbid, I am leaving this marriage. And not only that, I am taking all the kids because I have even gotten so attached to this boy. But I don't ever want to see this woman again in my life forever, 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 forever for what she has done. But God has forgiven her. Yes, but I will not forgive her. And she must pay full price for what she has done. So now, you Christians that say the forgiveness of God, come and help me out with this one. She's now born again. She has her gate pass stamped for heaven. She's heading to heaven. But the man says he will not forgive and she must pay full price. So essentially, even though God has forgiven, the handwriting of what she has done 10 years ago is now speaking against her, and not even the forgiveness of God can stop the ramification of what she has done. So you see, to just say that she is forgiven and you now go to sleep, you're joking. You are joking. Seriously. Now, let's look at the next one. This one, I'm going to paint a hypothetical scenario here, which is this. Now imagine that a guy and a lady, they are involved in a sexual relationship and they keep going on, and you know how a woman's cycle is. You know, there are times where, you know, they can have, you know, have sex together and nothing will happen. There's another time during the month that they can have sex together. I think it's popularly known as the fertile period, and something will happen. You understand? As in, one of the soldiers will swim to the woman and a baby will be created. You understand? Good. So imagine that they've been doing this thing. They've been doing it. Let's say from the 1st of March, they've been doing it every day, at least once every day, once every day, once every day. They keep doing it till the end of March. Now, assuming the woman's body is working correctly, if they did it from 1st of March every day to the 31st of March, sure banker, one of the soldiers will swim towards the eggs and a baby will start growing. Do you understand? Now, when the baby starts growing in March, no human being can see that baby with their naked eyes. Not even the instruments of the doctor can see the baby. In fact, they can't even let you come for a scan that same month because they can't see it. But trust me, that baby is growing. Do you understand? Now, you cannot wish that baby away. That baby will continue to grow until the woman's physiology begins to change, begins to vomit, and her stomach begins to protrude. But what I'm saying is that what they have done from March 1st to March 31st is going to produce an earthly consequence that will be visible to all men. So what I'm saying is that there are some things we have done and we may still be doing that will produce a consequence on the earth today. And it does not matter whether you are remorseful about it or not. The consequence of what you have been doing in sufficient quantities is about to break into the earth today. And that is what we are discussing. How do we solve this problem? Now, these things, they come in two levels. I'll describe the two levels for you. There are some things you have done. You have done them to a point that the consequences of those things have exploded on the earth, and we can see what you have done. Like the woman who had an affair with her boss, the consequences of that affair have exploded, and we can see the child, the seen on the ground. That's one level. Another level is that you have done stuff, you have been doing it, but the consequences are already formed in the spirit realm, but the consequences have not yet manifested in the physical realm. Let me give you an analogy for that. Now, you know that it's also possible for a man and a woman to be, you know, sleeping with themselves, doing stuff with themselves, but yet the woman is now pregnant because the soldier has met with the egg, but she has not started vomiting and the stomach has not started protruding. Now, the consequence is already hanging in the unseen realm. But what these people will do, which is against the will of God, is that they will then go to a birth and the manifestation of that product, which is the baby, so that what they have done in the secret will not explode openly on the earth. Hallelujah. And those are the things that I want to discuss in the next gist. So you can't miss it. You have done things in the spirit realm. You have committed sin. You have done stuff. Those things are hanging over your head in the realm of the spirit, and they are about to explode on the earth today. What can you do to stop the manifestation and the explosion of those things so in Christ Jesus will not be aborted and destroyed? And that's what happened to that girl that was stealing clothes. She had been doing those things sufficiently to a point that the spirit realm was full of her sins. And then she got born again, but those things exploded about the same time when she began to serve God. You can imagine they beat that girl senseless. Even they call you a believer in church. Is that the girl you will marry? Eh? The girl that they beat and they put scar on her face. Do you understand? So that becomes a problem. All this, you accept everybody the way they are, is a lie. Don't let anybody deceive you. People are ruthless in their assessment. They are very ruthless. They say it all openly. You know, don't judge. Don't judge me. Don't judge anyone. You don't know where they're coming from. Blah, 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 blah. Don't judge them. Don't mind them. When it is their turn to decide, they will marry you. They will walk past you and they won't tell anybody why they walk past you. And they go and marry somebody else. Do you understand? So don't listen to those people. They are just massaging your ego for you. This thing is real. Do you understand me? So that's what we are coming back to discuss in gist number two. How do we deal with the fallout of things we have done in the past that are about to explode on the earth today to obstruct and to destroy the manifestation of the will of God in our lives. I hope you understood the gist. And if you didn't understand it, I'll go over it again very briefly in the next gist, or just go over this recording as many times as possible. And just before we go, I'll read verse 14 of each of those translations to you. And just to show you the sequence. Now, if you have your scriptures, you can go through them again. Now, verse 13 says that we've been forgiven. If verse 13 of all the translations talks about us being forgiven by God of those things. Verse 14 talks about the written evidence of the commandments that we broke hanging over our heads, and that evidence has been annulled by Jesus Christ by being nailed to the cross. And then verse 15 talks about our victory in Christ Jesus over Satan. So you see the sequence now. Sequence is that number one, in verse 13, you are forgiven. Number two, in verse 14, the fallout of the sins that you have committed hanging over your head, or the fallout of the sins that your fathers and your mothers committed hanging over your head, has been taken away through the cross of Jesus Christ. And then step three is that you can now defeat the enemy, Satan and his principalities and powers, as a result of number one, being forgiven, and number two, the handwriting of ordinances that is against you being broken. Even in secular life today, things are held against you. Things are held against you. I mean, you imagine if you commit a crime in this country now, you have a criminal record. So they write it down somewhere that you are a criminal, that you've gone to serve jail before. Now, if you want to get a job, you now go apply for a job. You know what they do? They will do a criminal check. Now, when they do a criminal check, in that criminal check, they go check the computers, and then they will find a record against your name that you have once served time in jail before. And then they come back to you and say, sorry, you've been a jailbird before. We cannot employ you on this job. Out. So it means that what you have done in the past has created a remembrance that will stand against your progress in the present and in the future. Same thing, if you borrow money and you refuse to pay, they will write it down against you. If you want to go and borrow money again from the bank, they will fish it out that you borrowed money on so and so date and you ran away and you didn't pay. Sorry, we can't borrow you money again. Out. So even in secular life, things are being held against you. And it is very important for you to know how to handle these things, how to destroy these remembrances, so that these remembrances don't come to haunt your present and to destroy your future. Do you get it now? One day I was on Twitter and I was talking about soul ties. And can you imagine a pastor, just replied me and said, what's this soul tie thing that you are making noise about? That as long as somebody has received the forgiveness of God, that's all he needs. So what's this soul tie you are talking about? I just looked at him. When I saw that he was a pastor, I just thought, let me just walk past. Forgiveness alone will not do the job. There are people today, they have been forgiven. Do you understand? But they still have a remembrance. Not only them still have a remembrance, which constitutes soul tie. The world still has a remembrance of what they have done. And that remembrance is being invoked against them. So it is not only the forgiveness of God that you need in this situation. You need to know how to blot out those handwriting of ordinances. You need to know how to effect it in the spirit realm. You need to know how to go into the spirit realm to abort the manifestation of the things that you have done that are coming to explode in your present to destroy what God is doing. Seriously, you need to know that. Why is it that when people want to come out for presidential race in America, it is that time that one girl that you slept with 30 years ago will show up to destroy that ambition? What do you call that? Now, Herman Cain, is he not a Christian? Herman Cain is a Christian, Republican, black man. He wanted to contest. What happened? Some lady just came out, say, this bobo, he's been trying to press my boobs. Don't you remember? Harassment. When the noise became too much, that presidential ambition was aborted. Do you understand? How couldn't he invoke the forgiveness of God to become the president of America? He couldn't. When the noise became too much, when the wahala became too much, his high calling that he was pursuing, which is the presidential ambition to become the next president of America, was aborted, was destroyed. Do you understand? So forgiveness alone cannot do the job. You need to know how to blot out the handwriting of ordinances against you for you to be able to defeat the principalities and powers and obtain the victory that Jesus Christ wrought for us on the cross of Calvary. So I want to end the gist here, and if you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter. My handle is Sholadio, S-O-L-A-A-D-I-O. Thank you. And I'll come very soon with you with part 2 and part 3 of this gist, Errors of My Past. Have a nice weekend. Bye.